This week, we take a trip to a hidden gem of a museum in a Prague suburb, which traces the often surprising history of coffee. The private coffee museum Alchemista takes you through its history, cultivation, production, and industry, covering the many different strains and its progress from a devilish concoction to everyday drink. And this week's spotlight was produced by Chris Johnstone.
Prague's Coffee Museum can be found almost in the shadow of the football club Sparta Prague's Letner Stadium. It's been at the current site for around 2 years. A similar museum previously existed nearer the centre of the city and provided the basis for the latest collection. The museum's current manager and owner, Katerina Ebelova, also brought some of her own family history and collection of coffee paraphernalia to the exhibition. One of her ancestors was the founder of a company that prepared chicory coffee in the central Czech town of Čáslav at the start of the 1870s, before moving on to the production of mustard in the nearby city of Kutná Hora. Gaps in the collection have been filled in by trawls of flea markets and junk shops, and a few donations. The breadth of the museum is one attraction. Another is an award-winning cafe as part of the complex. This has helped make it a popular attraction for all ages, as the museum manager's daughter and cafe manager, Patricia, explains.
Sometimes children from school or even kindergarten goes to look how what their parents, you know, really love to drink. And also the older people go and, for example, look on the coffee mills, which they know from their childhood.
Within living memory, people bought their coffee as green beans and roasted it themselves in small home roasters and ground it in handheld mills. The result was usually stored in decorative jars, sometimes alongside other spices. Czechs cannot claim to be in the forefront of bringing coffee from Africa via Arabia to Europe in the 17th century. Venice boasts of bringing the Muslim drink to Europe. The first coffee house in Prague is believed to have been set up by a Turk, and in its earliest days in Europe, the drink was castigated as an unchristian, devilish drink. The bitter drink was also regarded as more of a medicinal treatment than refreshment, with coffee being originally sold from pharmacists as a drug. The museum reflects some of that history.
We have three beautiful pharmaceutical coffee jars, which date from around 1890. Coffee was sold in small amounts, 5 to 10 grams, and was sometimes mixed with chicory because it was quite expensive. Czechs did not much like the taste at first because it was bitter and needed to be drunk with a lot of sugar or milk. But coffee houses soon became a center of culture and a cultural phenomenon.
Much of the museum highlights the different varieties of coffee on sale, with Czech companies appearing to favour the chicory variety that could be grown on the fertile fields around the Elbe River in the centre of the country. Mrs. Ebelova again.
Its bitterness was used for coffee production. The chicory was grown, dried, roasted, and milled into a fine powder, and then turned into bars which appeared like chocolate. These could be boiled in water and milk, and it could be then served. The results had a powerful stimulating effect, and the taste was similar to coffee. Also, price-wise, it was quite affordable.
Ale hlavně byl dostupný i cenově.
Another rarer brew was fig coffee, which, by all accounts, made an excellent cup of coffee, with a lot of the initial sweetness removed during the production process. This, too, was sold in bars, with one such fig coffee bar on show in the museum. The museum's manager has resisted the temptation to break the original packaging and test the theory about its taste. She admits to being a bit scared that it might not have survived the test of time and could inflict some unpleasant side effects. An even rarer coffee and one of the museum's prize exhibits is what can only be described as animal-flavoured coffee droppings. In fact, it is the undigested coffee bean-rich droppings of the cat-like Asian palm civet, sometimes known as the Sumatran civet, with the results known in the local language as kopi luwak. Mrs. Abelova bravely switches to English to recount her encounter with this prized coffee.
This excrement from Tibet animal, the kopi luwak, is from Bali, where I was last year in summer. 1 kilogram of this selected kopi luwak is about $1,000. And 1 cup of kopi is in very, very good hotels, about 500-600 crowns.
One theory is that the enzymes from the mammal's digestive tract add a certain flavour and aroma to the coffee. Another is that the cat is simply selective in the coffee beans it consumes, leading to a nicer blend. Adverts for coffee, whether as old enamel signs or figurines, also make up a substantial part of the museum. One particular advertising ploy under the First Czechoslovak Republic was to send favourite customers cardboard figures from which to make their own Bethlehem models at Christmas.
Postavy, které přinášejí Ježíškovi do Betléma dary.
The figures bringing gifts to the manger, not just the three kings, but all of these bearers of gifts are carrying substitute coffee. You can see them with small bags of coffee substitute in their arms, in this case from the company Frank Perola. Nowadays, we have the impression that advertising is being pushed on us from all sides, but it's not true. Under the First Republic, they had also discovered the magic of advertising.
Objevili magii reklamy.
One coffee producer encouraged customers to copy the wisdom of the Czech philosopher Jan Comenius and select his brand. Advertising cards were produced by companies for all ages, cards with fairy tales for children and biblical figures for grown-ups. Nothing, it seems, was sacred. Coffee pots and containers, coffee mills in wood, metal and other materials, strainers, roasters and large metal coffee containers populate many of the glass cases. The coffee container collection is particularly rich and bears testimony to the changes in artistic styles over the last decades of the 19th century and the start of the 20th. Mrs. Abelova again.
Usually was you vegetable motifs and very, very often roses and different sorts of flowers and also clover motif was also very, very popular, also in Secese, Jugendstil, and in Art Deco time it was graphical design.
The museum also boasts a few large industrial coffee roasters. While these are not used, a sideline of the museum's coffee business is roasting coffee for a specialised chain of cafes in Prague. The amount varies between 60 and 150 kilograms a week, depending on seasonal demand. The chief roaster, Jaroslav Svietlik, was on hand at the museum beside an almost 80-year-old roasting machine.
Today they don't use coal or wood like they used to. The power is electrical and the heat is gas. The principle, though, is the same. It is like this roaster produced by the Probat company. It works in the same way, just with different power and heat.
Pracují na stejném principu doposud, akorát se mění to topné médium a pohon.
The museum and cafe are open daily between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. A garden is open in the summer. The museum also has an internet address. There is also a room for temporary exhibitions, currently hosting a display about masochist or carnival masks, as well as an exhibition of historical teddy bear toys going back more than a century. Appropriately enough, some of the toy bears are displayed drinking coffee.
Chris Johnstone with this week's edition of Spotlight about a coffee museum in the Czech capital.